What's up, everybody? Chester ARP Church Devotional Podcast. Clint Davis, your host. Thanks for being with us. John chapter 10, the vision caused by faith.
Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us as we get together this morning, reading John chapter 10, just a few verses from John 10. John 10 is a great chapter. It talks about the good shepherd. Jesus is the one who brings people together. We looked at that yesterday. We said that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own know me. He says, I have sheep from another fold. I'm going to bring them together. There'll be one flock and one shepherd. The idea of unifying people. He came into his own knew him not, John says in his prologue, but to those who did receive him, to those who did call upon his name, he gave the right to become children of God, born of the will of God. And in the idea that he brings Jews and Gentiles together. Everybody comes together in the person of Jesus Christ through faith in Jesus Christ. And God unifies. Jesus unifies people. He does do that. He unifies them in faith. That when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, geopolitical and socioeconomic and racial backgrounds, etc., that go away. They become secondary. The new man, the new flock, the new person, as Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 2, takes place. And we become one in the Lord Jesus Christ, unified by his grace as his people living for his glory, saved by grace. And so those things are so true. But Jesus doesn't just bring unity. He brings division when it comes to those who reject him. So Jesus is a figure in John's gospel that you have to decide whether or not you're going to believe in him. We've talked about this before, but I'll say this again. You may have heard this language before. A gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John's a clear example, perhaps the best example. A gospel is what we call a theological portrait. And the idea is it's painting a portrait of the person of Jesus Christ with a defined theological conviction regarding who he is. And so this Jesus is the Son of God. This Jesus is the Savior of the world. This Jesus is the one in whom you must find life. There is no other name under heaven and earth by which men, women, and children will be saved, Peter would say in the book of Acts. And so this idea that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except by me, is so clearly pointed out in John's gospel. That John is make sure we understand that Jesus is the one in whom we have eternal life, the one in whom we have living water, the one in whom we have hope everlasting. And so we must come to faith in him. He is the good shepherd, the good shepherd, the definitive argument, a definite article there, the good shepherd. And so Jesus demands faith. He demands to be believed in. There's an exclusivity to the Christian faith. It's inclusive in that it's offered to all. But it's exclusive in that it is only, the benefits of it are only given to those who express their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, yes, Jesus is a unifier, but he also divides. Because the division is not found necessarily on the person of Christ, other than the fact that he is the one who is there presenting himself, commanding people to follow him. Division comes from our response to that call. And so there's going to be division, whether you believe him and follow him or whether you don't. And that's what we see here in the end of this first section of John 10. So I'm just going to read a couple of verses and we'll make a couple notes. There was again division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And so there's division now. Jesus is among the Jews. And when John uses the word Jews, he's talking about the establishment. The leadership and those who are following after them. He's not speaking of the disciples, not necessarily speaking of the general population. He's thinking about those who are committed religiously and spiritually to following after the leaders of the Jewish faith in that moment. And Jesus is having this conversation about him being the good shepherd. And once he's done, there's division among them. Because some are saying, oh, this guy's crazy. He's got a demon. He's insane. There's no reason at all you should ever consider following him. we must deal with this guy. Some people say, you know what, when you think about insanity, you think about demons, maybe your initial response would be just ignore them, right? They're crazy. Just kick them aside. Just completely ignore whatever they have to say. Some people, that's their philosophy. You know, this crazy person is here. This person is insane. Let's just ignore them. Nobody's paying them any attention. They're off their rocker. Obviously, ignore them. Then there are others who are going to stand up and say, no, we got to address this problem. We got to fix this problem. We got to make sure that everybody understands this guy's not right. This guy's not saying the right stuff, right? And so they've got people who are going to ignore. They've got people who want to confront. But then there's also those who just simply say, well, he doesn't sound like somebody who's got a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind man? Now, these people are seeing the signs, they're seeing the wonders, and they're saying there's got to be something to this. Now, these are not people who believe yet. These people, I think, are the ones who will later believe, perhaps. When Jesus ascends into heaven in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles. They stand up and they preach, and on the day of Pentecost, they preach the gospel. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people are added to the number. By the time we get to Acts chapter 4, within a matter of weeks, 5,000 men, that number doesn't include women and children who would have come to faith as a result of those men and their testimony. And so the number of Christians is growing dramatically, quickly. And I think it's some of these people who are initially the ones who receive and understand and respond to the gospel call in their lives. You know, because they're sensitive to the reality. How can this guy have a demon? Can demons open the eyes of the blind man? They're seeing the signs, and they recognize that the signs are pointing them to something greater, a greater reality. The signs are there to testify to the reality that Jesus is who he says he is. The signs are there to point them to the greater healing that comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not everybody who is lame or blind or sick or ill gets healed, but all those who call upon the name of the Lord in faith will be saved from their sins. And so it is a healing there is to point us to a great reality. And so these guys are starting to recognize there is something special about this Jesus. This is not just some general man or general person who's acting like they're a demon and saying crazy off-the-wall things. This guy's actually opening the eyes of blind men. This guy is actually healing the lame. This guy is actually feeding 5,000, etc. So they're seeing the evidence, and they're starting to believe. But here's the deal. There's division. Division over the identity of Christ. Division over whether or not you're going to believe in him. Those who decide to follow him are going to be considered different than those who reject him. Jesus is not neutral, and he demands a response that's not neutral. He demands a response that says, I'm going to follow you. And if you decide to do that, those who have rejected that call and that response on their lives, that call of faith, are not going to be unified with you. And I think that's important. While Jesus unifies his people, and we put aside all those different issues that we could have as humans that separate us, he does draw division among people when it comes to whether or not you're going to trust him. Whether or not you're going to follow him, whether or not you're going to recognize that he is the Lord of glory. Jesus demands a verdict. Is he God's son or is he not? And if he is God's son, then you're going to follow him. And if you follow him, then you will be different than those who say he is not God's son. And that, I think, is an important challenge for us. And that's sometimes why following Jesus is so hard in our world. You guys have a great day. God bless you. But just know this, it's hard to follow Jesus sometimes because we are divided by those from those who don't follow him, who've rejected him. But we have a good shepherd who cares for his sheep, calls them, and meets their needs in every way. You guys have a great day. God bless you. See you next time.
You carry me close to your heart.